mic technique. We are working on mic technique.
Microphone techniques.
Mic technique.
What are the two words you're not supposed to say next to each other in a public speaking?
Test statistic.
Test statistic.
Or if you...
How about statistic test?
Had changed the words of a document previously, you edited it.
Edited it?
Edited it.
You've practiced that, haven't you?
I was a public speaking major in college. In college, at university, mic technique.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Russ. Welcome to One Beer, One Song. It's a podcast on the internet. As the title indicates, we talk about a beer and we talk about a song. It seems as we're now lurching into our early to mid-40s, each week we know less and less about beer and have less and less relevant takes on pop culture, the song part of the podcast. So really, it's just diminishing returns at this point. What have you opened for us today, Russell?
This is Spotted Cow by New Glarus Brewing.
New Glarus Brewing.
New Glarus is in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
To the label, every drop of Wisconsin's original farmhouse ale is artisan blended and bottled by the hardworking employee owners of New Glarus Brewing Co. right here in New Glarus, Wisconsin. Spotted Cow adheres to the purity law using only four...
Reinheitsgebot?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the word you can't say?
Mm-hmm. Using only four hand-selected all-natural ingredients, yeast, hop, waters, and malted barley, we allow yeast to remain in the bottle, to enhance the fullness of flavor so it is naturally cloudy. Expect this ale to be fun, fruity, and satisfying. You know you're in Wisconsin when you see the Spotted Cow.
We last talked about New Glarus on episode 72 in March of 2014.
And this is episode...
Actually, this is episode 172.
So it's been 10 years.
Weird. Oh, weird. It's been 10 years. Obama wasn't president 10 years ago. Anyway, New Glarus.
Thanks, Tony.
New Glarus is one of those breweries. They founded it in 1993 in Wisconsin, as Russ mentioned. And it was one of those breweries that was like kind of a regional anchor back in the days when there weren't 6,000 breweries in the United States. So like if you said Georgia, it's like Sweetwater. And then Wisconsin's New Glarus, you know.
So you
San Diego is Stone.
This is like their flagship beer.
This is, yeah, the company's best selling beer. They first brewed it in 1997. As Russ mentioned, it's a cask conditioned farmhouse ale. They brew about 45,000 barrels of the beer a year, which accounts for 45% of all of their beer.
So if they made 46,000 barrels,
it would be 46% of the beer. Well, if they made more than 100,000 total, it wouldn't. It's
that's easy math.
Because algebra. It is the best-selling draft beer in the state for a number of years. It's considered one of the most well-known beers in Wisconsin. This is all Wikipedia, so a lot of this is just speculation. 4.8% ABV. And here's a meaningless... The beer reached number one on the list of top 100 beers of all time.
In New Glarus, Wisconsin?
By the Cold Cans Podcast. Cold Cans Podcast.
All right. Just a hint off white head. It isn't, the label said cloudy and that this was bottle conditioned.
Cask conditioned,
but they allowed yeast in the bottle. But it doesn't appear to be super cloudy.
It looks like a wit beer. It looks like a Belgian wit. You can't stop me. You can't tell me I'm wrong.
Tasting. Oh, and then it tastes exactly like that.
Yeah, it's just very, it's no wonder this beer is so popular. Because
oh man,
it is,
that finish just stops.
It's very balanced. It's interesting. But it's inoffensive. It's polite.
It has a slight banana.
Yep, it's got farmhousey kind of saison-y, but not saison yeast can veer into the funk area, and it's not as dry as a saison.
It doesn't have a dry finish, but the finish ends. It's not like a sharp fall off a cliff, but it's like, oh, we're off the mountain now.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's not memorable either.
Well, that means that even if you've had like 17 of them, you'll go order another one because you're like, oh, I'm fine. There's nothing wrecking my palate.
No, this is not offensive anything. I don't know the ABV. It's not on the bottle. So
how are you these days?
Living the dream, man.
Oh, yeah?
Living the dream. Okay. No complaints. Successfully managing two herds of flocks and a small human and started fourth grade. So big last week and a half.
Big stuff, yeah.
Yeah, man. So, yeah.
Today, I noticed I wanted to comment. We're here in mid-August. I should be able to get this episode out in a timely manner, so whatever, it'll still be mid-August. I stepped outside this morning, and as you know, August in Georgia is punishingly hot and humid, and this year is not only not an exception, but has been a particular specimen of heat and humidity. And so you go outside and you kind of subconsciously just brace yourself to get hit with that wall, even at like 8 a.m.
Correct.
I went outside today at 10 a.m. To do the quarterly walk of shame to the recycling center. The city of Smyrna does not pick up glass recycling, so we just gather it and sort it ourselves in the garage. And then every 4 or 5 months, we realize, hey, our garage is 100% glass and we have to take it to the recycling center. So I did that today. And when I went outside, I immediately noticed like, it wasn't there. The wall of heat and humidity. It's the first day it happens every year.
Yeah.
And today happened to be the day where you're like, that's not fall, but it ain't summer.
It was fall kissing you on the forehead.
Yeah. We're still going to get beat up by heat and humidity for the next.
Through September.
Through Thanksgiving. But today it like.
Through New Year's.
It was as though summer was like, I'm just going to sleep in a little bit.
It was nice. It was a pleasant day. I had to go pick up the small human from a tennis center. And I got out of the car. I'm like, oh, well, if I played tennis, which I do not, I would not mind engaging in this activity on this time and date right now.
I like it.
But 2 days ago, hell no.
If I played tennis, which I do not, listener.
Let me be very clear about that. Hey, did you travel?
I don't care.
Did you bring me snacks?
I traveled to the first floor of my building where there is an Indian restaurant that has these Lay's potato chips that have, which for a second, I just wanted to stop. We're about to do another snack and we've done snacks a lot recently. And to my point earlier that we have waning knowledge about beer and even more waning knowledge about relevant pop culture things. We need to diversify into other channels. And one of those channels is going to be snacks. I'm going to include snacks as often as we can.
One beer, one song, one taste.
Whatever. Like it, chewing noises are hilarious and snacks are delicious.
We have two listeners that actually abhor this segment. Mm-hmm. This is where they turn us off because they cannot handle, they have a phobia or a distinct visceral reaction to mouth sounds.
Listen, I know that it's risky to lose 66% of our users over this segment, but we're going for it. So these are some Lay's potato chips that are, what would you call that shape?
Pringle.
Well, okay, the shape of the chip is Pringle, yes. That sort of oval that's been bent in two warped directions. They're Ruffles. The texture is Ruffles, but that doesn't say Ruffles anywhere on the bag.
It's a Ruffle texture in a Pringle shape.
It just says Lay's.
But what flavor?
The important part is that the flavor is India's magic masala.
I'm so excited.
So let's get after this.
I love masala. Ooh.
Oh my, that's not gonna give up. You're gonna be wearing. Okay, there we go.
The chips gave up more of a fight than the beer did. Mm. Excuse me.
Gave up more of a fight? Mm-hmm. Put up more of a fight?
Mm-hmm. That too. Oh, okay. So they are, they're an orangish color. Smells like. What does that smell? Is that
like a little bit curry?
Yeah.
They taste exactly how you would expect them to taste.
Like stale takeout.
Like masala flavored flavor dust.
Yeah.
And there's a little, you know what there's I don't know?
Kick at the end.
Mm-hmm, a little bit. You know what I don't know is what is masala? The meaning of life? Like, how would you describe the flavor of masala?
It's what comes out of the pouch that I put on top of the vegetables.
To the internet. Oh, of course, Wikipedia's got like.
There are 200 different varieties of masala. Did you mean masala the movie? Oh, my goodness. Hot.
Noun masala. Any of many blends of spices used in Indian cuisine, most often containing cardamom, coriander, mace, together with pepper, nutmeg, fennel seeds, jeera, etc.
Mace?
Etc. doesn't seem like a good word to have in a definition of something. You know, and other things. Anyway.
What's in this taco? Etc.
Taco ingredients, etc. So those are good. I've had them. I've had them before, but
I don't know if I would agree with that. I ate more of them, but I don't know if I'd revisit them.
Well, then I don't know what's wrong with you, but I'm not that surprised.
Oh, I did see my shrink this week.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, got medded up. She's like, "Do you just want like 3 months?" I'm like, "No, just give it to me 1 month at a time. I don't want to like OD on a drug that you can't OD on." She's like, "Wow, you look great." I'm like, "Thanks." And then she was like, "Did you hear about what's going on at that shopping center?" I'm like, "No, doc, tell me." And then we chatted about
it. Are you saying that you've graduated from therapy?
Oh, yeah. I'm out of therapy. Now I just got to go to this lady who gives me drugs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
But then she's like, "Well, do you have any suicidal or homicidal?" It starts funny every time. First of all, the waiting room is normally a shit show. Two visits ago, it's me by myself in the waiting room, and this woman comes down, enters the room, looks around the room, and sits right next to me. Then she gets on her phone with her bank. Like, I hear all of her bank balances, which were, oh my God, frighteningly low.
Right.
That scared me. The time before that, there's like four or five of us in the waiting room, and this woman comes from where the doctors are, comes out, slams the door, screams at the receptionist, walks through the thing, opens the other door, slams it too, and everybody's kind of looking around like, Right. Okay. Everybody go back to your iPhone games and go. But every 3 months I got to go see the doc. She's like, "All right. So, any suicidal or homicidal thoughts?" I'm like, "No." And it just like, that's the lead in. And then we just catch up and talk about whatever new developments going on.
She's just checking the box.
Patient, yeah, pretty much.
Patient did not kill self while in office.
Right. Right. I will give him drugs.
That's fantastic.
Where did you get these New Glarus beers? Because you can
I didn't even mention that.
Get New Glarus in Wisconsin.
I have a.
It's not beneath you to not go to Wisconsin.
Fantastic colleague named Allison. And she and her husband.
Single?
She is not. Oh. She and her husband, if you were listening to the podcast that we record, spent last week in Door County, Wisconsin, which is sort of a...
Does she have a sister?
No. She has two brothers.
Does she have any female friends that are single?
I think so. Yes.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Yeah, certainly. There is a mathematical, possibility. Let me finish.
Okay.
She was at Door County, Wisconsin, and she asked me before she left if there was any anything she could bring back. And I was like, again, there's probably some crazy new like white whale brewery in Door County, Wisconsin that like she could go in and buy a 22-ounce bottle of beer for like $12 that you could turn around and sell for $350 on beeradvocate.com or whatever. And I was just
How you put .com at the end of it. That was nice.
It's a website, http://www.
Is that dubstep? Is that what dubstep is?
www.beeradvocate.com. And I just kind of like over my shoulder was like, "If you find anything by New Glarus, that's great." And she got up there and was like, "Do you guys have any beers by like New Goliath,
New Gleason,
Luke?" And they were like, "You mean New Glarus." So she brought me back 2 6-packs.
This beer.
We're into the second beer here. You're going to completely ignore the outline that we wrote before we got started.
Oh, sorry. I skipped ahead. I'm sorry. The role of co-host is always
more than ever.
As we want to do, we asked people, we're going to record, send us your hot takes on, or questions about yard maintenance, relationships, banking.
I specifically asked Twitter, to report on what food that you can cook the best outdoors, and we got 0 responses. So we're going to have to come up with a different tack on that one. But friend of the show, Chris, asked on Facebook, Seinfeld or Friends and why?
I'll let you go first. I already have my opinions. Ready to go.
I mean, they're both very different shows. I think, I think Seinfeld is as a package, like is a fantastic thing that happened. I'm glad they wrapped it up when they did, and that it didn't linger on. I feel like the show itself has aged fine, but like to me, Jerry Seinfeld kind of, as the years go on, he just goes further and further up his own ass. And like Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee is fine, but also kind of problematic in like how he keeps this sort of superiority separation.
Oh my God. He's so good.
Lords.
You're right. You're absolutely 100%
kind
correct.
Of over everyone.
That's correct.
That bleeds back into the show.
Yeah.
On the other end of the spectrum, you have Friends, which is, at the time, when it came out in, what, 94 or whatever, I remember being blown away. Like, I was like, this is really funny. And then it exploded and became huge, and everyone sort of realized, like, wow, that's not even remotely fathomable. Like, six single people living in these giant apartments in New York City and just, like, hanging out in a coffee shop all day long and whatever else. If you've gone back and watched any episodes of Friends recently, it's the jokes still crackle a little bit. Like, it's funny. Like, the tempo and the snark is entertaining. I mean, it's a ridiculous concept, but, like, it's actually sort of, if I had to sit and watch one thing, not like, I guess I would probably pick Seinfeld. I don't know if I'd probably pick Friends.
So Friends for me, marching band would end at 7:30 and we'd bust ass back to my apartment. And it was Thursday night Friends night and we'd have 12, 15 people over the house and we watched Friends and everything. That's what we did. So I have a lot of nostalgia around it. That aside, you're right. Some of the jokes are still crackle. It still has a plot. Seinfeld was kind of lacking in plot by design.
Right.
Jerry and his road manager are not pleasant people in real life. So that, I'll tell you one story to tell you another story. When Penn Jillette had the idea for the Aristocrats movie, he called up George Carlin and said, I have this idea. And George Carlin said, you're going to fuck this up. This idea is too good for you. You're going to screw this up. If you take $1 from any person and put 30 seconds more Robin Williams, you've defeated yourself before you start. You have to keep this pure until your story. So don't screw it. This idea is too big for you. Same thing with Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. This idea is too good. And it's the Jerry part that I don't like.
Yeah.
Just put anybody else in the car. But the vehicle itself is fantastic. And some of the insights from comedians that we've seen is delightful. I would also go Friends. Also, I felt like I was the only male walking around that preferred Courtney Cox to Jennifer Aniston. People have told me, no, you're wrong. I'm like, no, I'm right and still right. They're both highly attractive females, but I choose to go Courtney Cox.
Okay. Who would you replace Seinfeld with in Comedians in Cars?
Dave Barry,
the
bald stand-up comedian.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not familiar with him.
Someone intelligent, but not overwhelming. You know who'd be great would be Dave Chappelle because he would get the hell out of the way.
Yeah. You know who I think I would like to see, though I don't know his driving prowess, is Jon Stewart.
I don't know. I think Jon Stewart's always trying to conduct a narrative, and I don't see him getting out of the way as easily.
Conducted it like tell a story, or like he has his own agenda.
Yeah, no. I think that's it. Okay. Of course, the guy's brilliantly smart. That'd be fun to watch. Someone absurd too, like Carrot Top, just completely like his afro wouldn't fit, his muscles wouldn't fit in a tiny car. So let's just go absurd. I think that'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting idea.
But yet, so, I'll watch every episode they put out of it, even though I dislike Jerry.
I'm a little bit behind, but yeah, you're right. They're good. I like that. I like that show. I like it for the guests. I don't like it for...
Correct.
Yeah, totally. All right.
Next beer?
No, you're incorrect again, Russell. Calm down. Now, as we do on most episodes, we're going to listen to a song. And the song this week, we're going to do a little bit of a plot twist. So we covered the reviewed Weezer covering Toto's Africa a few episodes ago. We had also done, let me check the episode guide here.
What do you call the thing they give you at the beginning of class for the semester?
Syllabus.
I need a copy of the syllabus going forward, please.
Syllabus. We last talked about Weezer episode 87 in August of 2014.
Also about 10 years ago.
When Weezer and the Rentals both came out with a new album around the same time. And that was significant because, of course, Matt Sharp was the bass player and songwriter.
What's his name?
Matt Sharp. Mike Technique. Left Weezer and in 1996 or 7 and started a band called The Rentals. So that was significant. And I've spewed on a lot about my thoughts about Weezer and Matt Sharp and its relation to the overall Weezer trajectory. So Weezer covered Africa.
We did that.
And Rosanna, we did that. Well, earlier this week, it was announced that Toto, who of course wrote and performed Africa, covered a Weezer song. And so you're thinking, oh, fantastic. Like the nostalgia, the AV Club said, the nostalgia circle is complete. And so then you go and look. The problem is Toto covered a Weezer song called Hash Pipe, which is fucking trash.
Why is that song trash?
Because it's post Matt Sharp, and even though Rivers Cuomo like made his mark, his brand is this like super introverted Ivy League nerd man who has a fixation on Asian women.
So and John then, Stewart.
And I don't know what his fixations are. But then they ended up going to like, they like relocated in Southern California and tried to do this like we're nerds in Southern California thing. And so like the Hash Pipe song was awful. And I think they have to pay somebody royalties for that song. Like, I think there's a riff in it that like, kind of like the Offspring have to pay Agent Orange every time that somebody plays Keep Them Separated. But it's not the Weezer that everyone fell in love with on their first two records. Same thing with the song Beverly Hills, garbage. I've already talked too much about this. So
what about Buddy Holly?
Well, so Buddy Holly's fine. I mean, that was their first album. And that's their brand. Like I don't know. So what we're going to do is we're going to listen to a Weezer song.
Is this a good Weezer song
or
a bad
good Weezer song? Okay. So I've mentioned the album Pinkerton. It was their second album. It came out in 1996. And it's so good. It might be better than the first album. It's so underrated. It's obscene. It's got great, like I had a hard time picking the songs, but, we're going to do a song that, actually they made a video for, it was a pizza delivery person driving around just kind of like hating life or whatever. And wondering how they had gone so wrong. This song off Pinkerton is called The Good Life.
Yeah, okay. Now look in the mirror. Can't believe what I see. Tell me who's that funky dude staring back at me.
that was a song.
That's your bit, really? When I say, do you have a bit, and you say yes, bit forthcoming.
I could see how in 96 that would be, oh my God. But now it's just kind of, okay.
So I thought about playing El Scorcho, the song right after that, and that was actually the first single off the album when they released it, because it is the quintessential example of Weezer with Matt Sharp versus Weezer without Matt Sharp. It's super goofy. It explores weird pop music things while still being a very good like power pop song. The problem is that the lyrics are all about River's weird ass gross hang up with Asian chicks. And so I don't like.
Well, wait, hold on. Is it weird to have expound on that?
I guess it's not weird, but to be like a public figure and be like a specific race of women is my thing just seems, I don't know. I don't like it. And it's goddamn podcast.
Well, there you go. You're going to take your laptop on your gear and go and stay in your house?
Yeah, I'm going to take my shit and get out of my house.
I mean, artists are artists. They're going to be weird and say and do provoke weird things. So that's his way of provoking.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the 37,890th weirdest thing anyone has ever done or said. But like, I think that song was, it's just a solid pop song. And that like, it's just, and it, they're loose in it. Like they don't feel like they're trying to comport to some sort of aesthetic like they did later. Like I pointed it out, like the quarter note triplet drum fill after the first chorus, like the end, the big like bam, 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 bam at the end. Like, it's just, I love it. And they're not like that anymore.
Their later stuff is definitely more in a box.
It feels like it. And it feels like they're trying to,
I mean, there's out of tune guitars on there for a reason.
Yeah. And what's unusual is because they exploded onto the like indie pop music scene in 94 with the Blue album. And then for a sophomore album, it wasn't nearly as successful, but like to be as good, or I think maybe a little bit better, is super unusual. They may not think it's better because it didn't make them as rich as the Blue album, but like, I don't know. But everything, I mean, the Green album took like 8 years to come out after that one, after Pinkerton. And there are a couple of good ones on that. Islands in the Sun is okay. And there's one more, I can't remember the name. But after that, it's just downhill. Anyway.
Pop garbage.
Now that we've dedicated like two entire episodes of me whining about Weezer, we can put that topic to bed.
The next beer is just like me, totally naked. This is, oh no, that's the name of the beer. Totally naked. Okay. Pure and crisp. This is a beef with nothing to hide. Wisconsin
a
two.
Beef. Yeah. It's a beef with nothing to hide.
This is a beef. Oh no, that's a watermark. My bad. This is a beer.
Jesus Christ.
This is a beer with nothing to hide. Wisconsin two-row barley malt ensures a mellow and smooth body. We imported noble hop varieties from Germany and the Czech Republic to ensure a fine, mature aroma with no coarse bitterness. Expect this beer to pour a delicate golden hue that sparkles in the summer sun. This lager is brewed using all natural ingredients with no artificial additives of any kind. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the simple, unadorned flavor. This beer
is beer at its most basic.
Totally naked.
Birthday suit beer. I like it. I also like that they on the website have pairings for this beer. And I guess this is probably tongue in cheek, but the foods that you would pair this with are
beef,
pizza, green salad, nachos, wings, fruit, beef, chicken, sourdough, guacamole, burrito, Cajun, fried calamari, gumbo, tandoori, and smoked salmon.
What about a chowder?
Cheeses are feta, one-year-old cheddar, and Gruyere.
No two-year cheddar.
Get that 18-month-old shit out of here. Uh-uh. Yeah.
Does it have crystals in there to make it
crunchy and delicious? Smells like a, you know who we need. We need our light American lager expert on here to give us the what for about this beer.
Who? What was his name?
His name is Chris.
Whew, I'm glad I asked because I almost said, oh, you mean Scott?
It's a pilsner. It tastes like a pilsner.
It's super clear. It's piss yellow.
So the style is Wisconsin lager. It's a Wisconsin lager, but it's
super light.
It's a pilsner
in flavor.
What's the ABV? Did they say?
No, it's not on the bottle.
It's not on the website either. What if it's 12%?
What if it's 2%? Ooh, Lagunitas is lowering the ABV of its IPA, causing all kinds of shenanigans online.
You mean Heineken?
Yeah, and someone else was like, oh, look at this Terrapin project I picked up. I mean, and I'm like, oh, you mean Miller Coors? That's nice.
Super.
I'm underwhelmed by New Glarus beers.
What were you expecting?
More.
Like, okay, but these are very, like, they're mainstream, like, wide boulevard beers. Like,
and designed to hook me onto their product. Yes?
I guess if that, like, that's, so would you, if you, and I'm not saying this because they're some sort of, like, vaunted great brewery, but if all you had to judge Sweetwater on was 420, would it be the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I also don't drink Sweetwater.
I think that because we know that New Glarus does more intense and interesting and creative beers very well. When we reviewed them last time, it was their Wisconsin Belgian Red Cherry Lambic.
Mm.
And it's fantastic. Mike Technique.
Just going to run that till it's dead, aren't
you? I am. And then I'm going to hate myself in post-production where I'm like, listen to all these popping C's, Tony. Good job. Syllabus. I think both these beers are great. Like, as far as just a clean American lager, like, this is, name one better than this.
No.
Wrong.
No.
Can you?
No. But would I pick it up again? No.
So remember what I was saying earlier about how we're suffering from waning beer knowledge and perspective?
As I reach for the Monday Night Hambrolo.
Reach for a big hoppy pale ale? Yeah. No, I think these are fantastic. I also think it's fantastic that a cask-conditioned farmhouse ale is like the best-selling, or for a time was the best-selling draft beer in Wisconsin. Like, that's crazy. And it's crazy awesome. And Wisconsinians can drink. They're like,
can they? You know, but if they're drinking light lagers and pills.
They drink everything. They just drink everything.
Is that why they're so big?
Yes. And the winter.
What does the winter have to do? What?
Because you're inside and you're just drinking and eating to stay warm and not being outside.
Does Wisconsin have a liquor?
Like a local liquor?
Like a state liquor. Like, if you think of...
It's cheese.
If you think of Ireland, what liquor comes to mind?
Guinness.
Goddamn. Liquor.
Irish whiskey.
Okay. And so, like, Wisconsin, they don't seem like vodka people. They don't seem like whiskey.
Canadian
people.
Whiskey?
Oh, hey.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm going to have to think about this.
All right. You have homework. You have homework. Figuring out Wisconsin liquor by the next episode.
The last thing on the syllabus that I can finally read says out.
That's after we've done the intro, the beer, the snack, the friends in Seinfeld question, the song, the beer. And then we're out. We did it.
Bye.
Bye.